When Superstorm Sandy hit Rhode Island, it dumped tons of sand onto Atlantic Avenue in Westerly. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers replenished much of the sand at Musquamacut State Beach. As the Army Corps completed the project, Brian Oakley says a common question he heard around town was,
"Well, how long is the sand actually going to last?"
Oakley, a professor at Eastern Connecticut State University, works closely with a Rhode Island state geologist on monitoring eroding barrier beaches. He and coastal planners stand at the Musquamacut State Beach Pavilion, updating the EPA's Kurt Spalding on this sand replenishment project.
So what we realized pretty quickly as they were wrapping up the project, that we needed to be monitoring where it was.
Oakley, the University of Rhode Island, and the Coastal Resources Management Council surveyed the beach before the Army Corps replenished it and continue to do so each month. That means the state knows where this beach is gaining and losing sand.
From one end of the beach to the other, we have a pretty good three-dimensional look at the beach, the elevation, the shape of it, and we can calculate a volume.
Oakley says about 20% of what the Army Corps replenished is already gone, and that's without any major storms. It's just what beaches do.
This is going to become the new norm. People are going to want to do more replenishment, and understanding how long it lasts, how effective it actually is, for the cost, $3.1 million for this project, that was in excess of 3,000 dump truck loads of sand.
A state watershed council stepped up to pay for the cost of this monitoring project. Oakley and the state geologist say nobody wants to pay for collecting this kind of information, but it's key to do so. Spalding thinks Rhode Island is onto something.
You have advanced monitoring tools. There's lots of different ways to do it. One thing we're learning is how fast things are changing. If you can't speak to that, you can't help communities do what they need to do.
Near Winnipeg Pond, just down the road from the state beach, Spalding learns about techniques to restore salt marshes drowning from rising sea levels. Techniques pioneered in New York and tested out in Rhode Island as the first New England state. CRMC policy analyst Caitlin Chafee explains these wetlands are important habitats for fish and wildlife, but they're also critical storm barriers and water filters.
There's a recognition that these marshes form part of this whole complex that's actually protecting humans and infrastructure further inland. And so beyond just the pure habitat value, I think there's a greater coastal resiliency value to trying to help these marshes persist.
The Northeast is losing salt marshes at a rapid pace, but it appears Rhode Island is the only state to have developed statewide maps that project where it may gain or lose salt marshes under different sea level rise scenarios of 1, 3, and 5 feet in the coming decades. The goal of the maps is to identify where communities may save salt marshes along the coast. Spalding calls this salt marsh mapping effort impressive.
I never even knew it was even possible. You can really envision marshes expanding in the New England context. I've seen it in Florida. They're actually great areas for mangroves to grow. But it's like, oh, wow, somebody's really broken through on that. That was pretty cool.
Rhode Island has also developed statewide maps called storm tools with projected storm surges and sea level rise at different levels. Spalding says this technology could map other New England states and serve as a tool for the EPA when planning to clean up toxic sites along rivers and coastlines.
Yeah, it'll have very important application to us trying to, you know, take these very contaminated areas and make them safe for the public. The idea most of the time is you try to encapsulate and put a cover on and try to get some habitat there. So what we do in terms of how strong that cap has to be, you know, that storm tools can be helpful.
Spalding, a Rhode Islander and former executive director of Save the Bay, says he already knew local and state agencies, universities, and environmental groups are proactive here, but he didn't know the degree to which these groups are collaborating and developing state-of-the-art planning tools. In this area, he says Rhode Island is a leader. Spalding already visited Cape Cod to learn how coastal planners there are addressing climate threats. He plans to go to Vermont next. Spalding says communities are hungry for this type of know-how. The goal of his climate tours is to cross-pollinate the best climate adaptation work happening in the Northeast. Amber Espinosa, Rhode Island Public Radio.